the Happy Afloat podcast, tales of family adventures at sea.
Hello and welcome. I am Jason, skipper of Happy Afloat. Meet my happy crew. Leon?
Hello.
Conrad?
Ahoy there, shipmates.
And my lovely wife, Sarah.
Hello. If you are new to the podcast, then welcome.
This is part 13 of our summer adventure.
If you want to follow this sailing adventure from the beginning,
hit the rewind button and start at episode 13.
Which is part one of the story, where we leave our home port of Chatham.
For old hands, make yourself comfortable and we'll begin.
In this episode,
we continue exploring Loch Maddy and sail further north than ever before.
More tales from our summer adventure.
Okay, where had we got to?
We had spent a couple of days at anchor in Loch Maddy, sheltering from the strong wind and rain.
You mean the Loch of Dogs?
What do you mean the Loch of Dogs?
That's the translation from Gaelic to English for Loch Maddy is the Loch of Dogs.
Is it? I never knew that. There you go. Why is it called the Loch of Dogs?
It's called the Loch of Dogs because of the two big rocks that guard the entrance that were named the Dogs.
Now I can actually picture that and see that.
The miserable weather had now blown over and the forecast was much brighter.
It was time to head to the Loch Maddy Marina to sample the local delights.
And fill up the water tanks.
And to hook up to shore power to give the batteries a boost.
Loch Maddy Marina is right next to the Ro-Ro Ferry Terminal.
No leisure boat movements are allowed when the ferry is about.
We were tracking the ferry on AIS and we had plenty of time to raise the anchor and get to the pontoon before the ferry arrived.
Or so we thought. Loch Maddy Marina is basically a long pontoon with a hammerhead.
From our anchorage, we could see an empty length of pontoon that had our name on it.
The anchor was raised and...
another boat beat us to the berth.
As we got closer, the crew of Yacht Zusa radioed us up to let us know that they would be leaving in about 15 minutes as they were only filling up with water.
We thanked them and milled around while waiting for a berth.
Zusa is a 22-metre adventure sailing yacht that takes up to 8 paying guests on voyages around the Hebrides.
Zusa has quite a distinctive look and we recognised her from our various trips to Oban, where she is based.
While we slowly circled around, it was the perfect opportunity for the boys to learn about the isophase lights.
As the guiding lights for the ferry berth were now active.
Is that red light flashing before?
Yeah, they've got flashing lights depending on how far you are off. Yeah, so in the iso red, then we should be in the iso white red phase now. Is it white and red?
Yeah. Yep, red, white.
Oh, can you see the red white now? Oh, yeah, look.
It's seeing...
red white. Oh, yeah.
It's all and then it should be green. Is it going green yet? Oh, no, it should be iso white when we're in the zone. So it should be red white, then it should go flashing white when we're in the zone.
See this flashing light? See it? It's an isophase light. So it was just red. And basically, if you're going in a straight line to help the ferry get in, it's perfectly white.
If you look here on the chart, depending on which sector you're in, it tells you where to go to line up with the ferry berth. So if we're down here, it was flashing red, and it's flashing red-white, which means you're getting close. Then it goes to white when you bang on, and if you're too far to starboard, it goes white-green, and then green if you're way off. Basically, so it can guide you in.
They had that in Hartlepool,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Nice. Yeah, Hartlepool had the same sort of thing. You're white, so now we can dock in this ferry berth. What we got at the moment?
White green,
so it's working. And eventually.
Is it automatic or is someone controlling it?
No, it's automatic, depending on. There's probably a box with lights in it with blades at the front, so can you see it at certain angles? And then it obscures the other ones. And eventually it should go green if you're way off. Should be entering the green phase about nowish.
Yeah.
It's really green.
Yep, there you go. So it then tells you you're too far to starboard, turn to port.
It's green and white again.
Yep. And eventually it should go white.
Still flashing green. Well, that's because you're not in the white sector yet. Just doesn't enter it. Yes, it's white now. In the white sector. Smart.
It's smart, isn't it? Lots of little tips and tricks with getting people in safely. It's like the Swallows and Amazons thing, isn't it, of a transit? Yeah,
to make sure they didn't hit the rocks.
Yeah, exactly.
It's now flashing red. We're too far to port.
After 15 minutes, Zouza called us up to apologise.
It was taking longer than expected to fill the water tanks.
And would we like to come alongside and wait?
We accepted their offer. Better to be tied up for when the ferry arrives.
We didn't want the five hoots of shame that a yacht had received the day before. Tying alongside Zouza proved to be a very fortunate encounter.
Zouza had just arrived from St. Kilda.
The strong winds we had been hiding from were perfect to move her 42 tons to the remote island and back.
As a regular visitor to Loch Maddy, the Zouza crew were able to give us the lowdown.
Firstly, the water pipes on the pontoons leaked, which is why it took forever for them to fill up with 5 tons of water.
You also need a very long hose to reach the only working tap.
5 tons of water, is that a lot?
It's a lot more than we've got. How much have we got, boys?
300 litres?
A metric ton would be 1,000 litres of water.
All right, so it's quite a lot then. Which is why it's taking forever then to do 5 tons. Yeah, they actually quizzed us now about how big our tanks were. And then how long we made it last. Oh, 300 litres. It easily lasts 2 weeks, doesn't it?
You can do 2 weeks with showers a couple of times a week for all four of us.
But then I sort of explained to their skipper that it's okay having boys on board because it's almost impossible to get into the shower. The harbour master could not be tracked down. Zouza had tried various phone numbers with no success.
At the mention of phone calls, Mum's ears pricked up.
Mum was desperate to know which phone network actually had reception.
It turns out that Vodafone used to work in the area, but now you need the Three network.
Apparently, the Three network had recently upgraded the emergency mobile network for the government, hence the good reception in most places.
Where could we get a Three SIM card?
Well, nowhere in the Outer Hebrides on the Sunday.
Anyway, it was unlikely that anywhere south of Stornoway would sell SIM cards.
Another berth became free and we moved, with minutes to spare before the ferry arrived.
I'm hoping this is very good.
Very good.
I know.
You just ask her.
I very much know.
Zusa offered us the use of their long hose while they waited for the crew to return.
They are very nice people.
As the tank slowly filled up with water, we checked out the shore power situation.
There was none. All the power sockets were dead.
It was a good job the sun was now shining.
And charging up our solar panels.
There was Wi-Fi, courtesy of the Calmac ferry terminal.
The Wi-Fi and the water supply shared a common attribute.
It was painfully slow.
I was excited to investigate the shoreside facilities.
You mean the laundry facilities?
Of course. And the rubbish disposal situation, because I get all the good jobs.
We had a week's worth of rubbish.
And were rather worried that the marina wouldn't have waste facilities.
Now, usually at this point, we have a marina facilities review segment in the podcast, but we don't think that would be fair.
After our visit, the new management acknowledged that the pontoons and facilities hadn't been up to scratch.
They have apologised to visitors of their community-run pontoon.
And have put a plan in place to prevent this situation recurring in the future.
So, we will reserve judgment until our next visit.
There were laundry facilities, but I didn't want to risk it. With no harbour master available, there would be no recourse if the machines ate our coins.
The next priority was to stretch our legs.
We set off to explore the local area on the island of North Uist.
Walking through the ferry terminal, which was busy.
Particularly with motorhomes leaving the island.
We headed north along the main road.
Past Loch Maddy Hotel, which was open.
And it was quite busy.
Past the museum and art centre, closed.
Past the local shop and post office, closed.
We were following the route for the
Hut of the Shadows.
We were taking a route through the village and then along the shoreline.
To a very rickety wooden suspension bridge.
Over a deep and wide inlet.
The bridge had seen better days, obviously not dangerous, as there would be some sort of warning sign.
Or hazard tape across the path.
We crossed the bridge at the far end.
We ducked under the hazard tape.
And around the Do Not Enter Dangerous Structure warning sign.
We could now see our destination.
The Hut of the Shadows
is a small turf-roofed stone hut with a narrow entrance.
The entrance has a gate to keep the sheep out, and beyond the gate it was very dark.
We fired up the torch, well, the torch app on the mobile phone, and ventured inside. Who went first?
Probably you, as you're the raven.
We went in and then you jumped out and scared us.
No, it doesn't sound like something I would do.
Oh, yeah, you did go in first. You always turn off the torch at the last minute, jump out and scare us.
Yes.
You do that every time, no matter what. And for Halloween, you literally switched everything off at the fuse box.
That doesn't sound like me at all.
It was. We remember it only too well.
The hut acts as a camera obscura, with a lens and mirrors projecting the landscape from the outside onto the stone wall inside.
Once inside, we turned the torch app off.
And as our eyes adapted to the darkness, we could see the image of Loch Maddy on the stone wall.
The quality of the image depends on the light.
We were lucky and got to see a great image.
So, boys, what do you rate? Camera obscura or just a window?
Camera obscura. It's smaller and isn't as drafty.
Oh, yeah, very good.
Plus, it still provides a good representation of the outside because of the fact light won't interfere with it. Because quite often, if you've got much brighter lights on one side of the window, then you can't see through it if you're on the side of the brighter light.
Camera obscura is a bit of science fun, I guess, which you wouldn't expect to see in the middle of nowhere.
No.
Didn't we see or visit a camera obscura on one of our sailing trips in Netherlands?
Oh my God.
Where we went up a tower and there was one at the very top.
Was there? It wasn't Borkum, was it? Did we go up that tower?
Borkum. Do we go up a tower in Borkum?
There was a tower there. Did we go up it?
No, it's a lighthouse you're thinking of.
Oh, yes.
I'm sure we went up to one in...
We did, somewhere on the west coast of...
Was it Gouda or Edam?
There was somewhere.
In the middle of town, there was a tower you can at the very top. I'm pretty certain they had a camera obscura.
I can remember the tower.
Oh.
But I don't quite remember
one. Well, maybe I'm just imagining it then. I mean, the advantage of having on top of a tower is you usually get a panoramic view of the whole city. But I guess that's how the medieval folk used to get their drone footage.
A circular route was possibly a little longer than ideal. We'd clocked up over 8 miles before we got back to the marina.
But the countryside was pretty flat by Scotland standards.
And we did stop off at the fabulous Loch Maddy Hotel.
For the obligatory ice cream, which we rate very highly.
Both on taste and a portion size.
Back at the marina, it was decision time.
There was still no sign of a harbour master.
So, was there any point in staying on a pontoon with no facilities?
Next to a noisy ferry berth and a busy car park?
Not really. So we headed to the nearby Spoonish Harbour and anchored.
We could see the... Leon?
Heart of Shadows.
There on the shoreline.
So any visitors to the hut that evening would be enjoying a view that included us.
Tucking in to barbecue pizza.
The next day was a leisurely start.
The tide taking us northwards wasn't due until midday.
Which would give us time to prepare the celebration.
What celebrations?
I'm glad you asked. The next anchorage would be the furthest north we have ever been.
Depending on how far into the anchorage we could squeeze.
Today?
We venture north.
Maybe the furthest north ever. Or
for us.
Maybe not.
Yes, yeah, so some people have gone further north.
Well, lots of people have gone further north, but we're talking about us. In this boat.
Or in fact, in any of our boats.
Where's Denmark? It depends, because the anchorage you've got planned in Loch Fins Bay, depending on how high up you get, we may further north than we've ever been, or we may not.
Yeah, because top of Skye we went round, didn't we? We went to Clockton, and then we went down.
Yeah, we didn't go over the top of Skye.
Did we go
top? No. We went up.
And then we went all the way back round the bottom.
Yeah, we haven't gone over the top of Skye. So, if we do go the furthest north we've ever been, how are we celebrating?
I'm going to make a chocolate cake, some kind of cake.
Mm. Oh, well, yeah. Okay, Leon, excellent. Look forward to your chocolate cake.
Coffee and walnuts?
That doesn't sound like chocolate cake, that sounds like coffee and walnuts.
Chocolate. I said some kind of cake.
Chocolate brownies, excellent idea.
I hate brownies.
You don't like brownies.
More for Dad.
After racking our brains about previous trips to the Baltic
and checking our logbooks and Navionics tracks,
it turned out that the furthest north we had been was the trip along the Moray Firth around a month ago.
It just depended on how far offshore we had been when passing Lossiemouth
versus how far we could get into Loch Fins Bay.
It looked like there was less than half a nautical mile in it.
We were confident of success and the celebratory chocolate brownies were baked.
Again, there wasn't enough wind to sail much of the 14 nautical mile hop.
Soon, we were passing the Sound of Harris.
Should we make a detour through the Sound and head to St Kilda?
So, do you want to turn left and head off to St Kilda?
Do you want to?
Find a passage.
How am I going to those Sheehan Giant islands?
Right, can we give St Kilda a miss then?
I'm intrigued. I would like to go to St Kilda. I don't mind.
Yeah, but it's not the right weather, is it?
Not really.
It needs to be southwesterly. The bay.
Yeah. Northwesterly, isn't it?
two porpoises, 9 o'clock. One from this one.
I hear one.
And there's one behind it.
Two.
I think that's the little one there. Adult and juvenile comrade.
It does look a lot smaller, doesn't it?
Still no dolphins.
I don't know, and yet I don't remember on previous years seeing porpoises.
Did somebody call me earlier?
Yeah.
But, two more spottings for you to put in.
What were they, porpoises?
Yep.
On the number of animals.
Two.
Adult and juvenile.
Well, the wind was too light and from the wrong direction, so we carried on heading northwards.
Once again, Happy Float was bathed in rays of 4G from the Isle of Skye.
The boys made the most of the internet and downloaded various Netflix shows for later consumption.
The whole trip was 2 hours and 40 minutes, and we only sailed for the last half an hour. Our sailing to motoring ratio was not improving.
We weaved our way into Loch Finsbay, avoiding the shallows, rocks and curious seals,
to a very pleasant and secluded anchorage.
Although Harris and Newist are not very far apart, we did notice the landscapes were very different.
Harris has a much higher rock-to-grass ratio than Newist.
While Newist had not been blessed with many trees, here there were none, which was a bit unsettling. I missed the trees.
To our eyes, it looked very alien.
Oh, this is cool. This looks much more interesting than the last place, I think.
Excellent. So, the big question is, have we made it the furthest north ever? Ooh. Who's going to check?
Leon, can you check? Can you go and check our position, please? Can you write down in the log and also report up to us what our position is, please? Two digits. We're further north. Way! We are the furthest north we've been on Happy Afloat. Woohoo! We've done it, boys!
We had made it to the most northerly point for Team Happy Afloat.
Hooray!
Mum had got wind of a nearby artisan chocolate shop and read out the rave Facebook reviews.
Yeah, chocolate shop. There was a review 4 months ago. Tasty homemade chocolates, an extremely friendly owner. Defo worth a stop on your way around the island. Runs on an honesty box basis, apparently. I did 2 years ago. Can I have... probably the smallest shop in Europe. Small hut offering self-service chocolates. Oh, we've got to go and try and see if we can find that, haven't we? Okay, so we're in that bit of the bay. So we might be over there then. Well, Mum's happy because apparently there's an honesty box chocolate shop. Probably half a mile away. Mile maybe. Got to be worth a look, hasn't it?
Yeah.
An explore to find a random chocolate shop.
We didn't need much persuasion to go ashore for the promised chocolate treat.
So, Sarah, how was the chocolate shop?
Well, on paper it sounded very nice.
And I can't remember it.
I was very keen to go.
It's funny you can't remember it.
The chocolate shop had been closed for a long time.
It was sort of post-COVID, wasn't it? It was sort of first summer of things being open. And it wasn't. Which was a shame because it sounded really nice.
Yeah, well, it was supposed to be, what, half a mile away? How many miles did we walk?
Definitely more than half a mile.
I think we ended up at least 3 miles each way. Because I was like, how many miles is it? Because Mum said it was only meant to be a short trip, and I was constantly worrying we had missed it completely.
Yeah, it's always just around this corner, just down this lane. It's probably just around this next corner.
And it was hard because we didn't have any internet when we got ashore, did we either?
No.
And it wasn't. And as it wasn't there, we had no clue because as it was closed, they didn't have lots of signs out, so it was hard to find.
Back aboard, we consoled ourselves with a barbecue.
We had sausages, my favourite.
And my chocolate brownie for dessert.
And very nice it was too.
Thank you.
The next day would be another record-breaking day.
Do you mean the furthest north again?
More cake?
Well, that is a story for another time.
We love feedback.
And we have received book recommendations from one of our listeners.
We have two books to recommend, all from the same author, Adam Kay.
What are the books, Sarah?
He has written one called Kay's Anatomy and another one called Marvelous Medicine, or Kay's Marvelous Medicine.
Now, we haven't actually read these books, and the boys haven't read these books yet, but you are familiar with Adam Kay, aren't you?
I am. I have read his slightly more grown-up book, which is called This Is Going to Hurt, which...
It's one for adults only.
It's largely an adult book, and it's sort of the secret diaries of a junior doctor.
Now, boys, have you taken a look at these two books on Amazon?
I had a little look at Kay's Anatomy.
And?
I found it quite a funny book.
Yes?
Yes.
Excellent. Funny book from Leon Conrad. Have you taken a look at these books?
Yes. I mostly looked into Kay's Marvellous Medicine, which was rather history-based, and said about how, right now, we think that the old sciences, such as when people thought germs came from bad smells, were silly. It then pointed out that people in a few hundred years' time will probably think we were silly for the same reasons.
It's very true. That's the way science works. Actually, I did history of medicine as part of my history qualification, yes.
Well done.
It sounds like quite a good subject, that.
That makes you sound kind of intelligent.
Yeah, it's all about... basically, just because you've been doing something this way for a long time doesn't mean it's a bright idea. Like, just because you've been applying leeches to your bodies for centuries doesn't mean that leeches are actually curing anything.
And the Aztecs thought the brain was just padding to make sure that our heads weren't flat.
I think in some cases, Conrad, that's very true. It is definitely padding.
Well, I have to say, if you boys get those books on Kindle, I'm quite happy to read them, because I quite enjoyed the book that I read.
Thank you for the book recommendation, Benjamin.
If you have any questions, send an email or a posting on our Facebook page. All relevant links are on the website happyafloat.com.
If you would like to help us grow, spread the word. It is nice to share.
And don't forget to follow and rate us in your favourite podcast app.
If you do post a review somewhere, send us a message so we can track it down and mention you in the podcast.
Happyafloat.com.
Next time aboard Happy Afloat,
we sail further north than ever before.
Until next time, happy sailing!